Kate Hoey from the Labour Party with us this morning. Morning to you, Kate.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the former Tory MP, Edwina Currie. Good morning to you, Edwina.
Hello there.
Good morning. Good morning. Kate, are you not worried about Scotland, the point I put to Sammy Wilson there?
Well, I do think there's actually now a group within the SNP who are campaigning to leave, led by Jim Sillars. You know, it's not as united a party, and I understand that. It's not as united as most parties have disagreements on this issue. And the important thing in this, and I think we've seen from the way the Conservatives handled it yesterday, is that it's really important that people can have these debates and discussions without feeling that anyone who is different from the rest of their party or has, you know, is somehow wrong. I'm not worried about the Scottish thing. I think Sammy Wilson, I just heard the end of that, is absolutely right. Scotland will want another referendum, whatever happens. But I'd be very surprised if the Scottish people vote in such a big way to stay in as is being suggested. And we look at the back of, admittedly it's a long time ago, 1975, but Scotland was part of the only bit of the region, two parts of Scotland, that actually voted to leave then. So the Scottish people are not as united as perhaps it's in the Scottish Nationalist Party leadership's issue.
What?
And it is all about leadership in this. You know, all the leaders of all the political parties will have much the same view, which is why this is a campaign really that's going to be about, as everyone said, every member of the public has the vote, and it's going to be so interesting that that will happen and that people can really get involved in campaigning on all sides in a hopefully a way that allows people to give their opinions without being shouted at.
Let me look at some of the practical issues here, Kate, if we were to leave the European Union. So first of all, for those people, you know, some of them elderly, as in, you know, they've maybe retired and they've bought a home in the likes of Spain, and they own that property or they have a mortgage on it, what's going to give them the right to still live there if you pull us out of the EU?
Well, at the moment, and some people, a lot more people have bought properties in Spain, but an awful lot of people have bought properties outside the European Union. Let's just not forget the European Union is only 28 countries out of something like 56 in Europe.
Yeah, but for those people who do have properties,
it won't affect them, and we know that. It's not in, you know, a lot of
we don't know for sure.
We don't know what's the thing about the whole of this issue is everyone says, oh, we don't know what would happen. We don't know what's going to happen to the European Union if we stay in. We've seen it's a shrinking market. We've seen that it's actually not being able to handle in any way the whole migration issue. It is a failing project, you know, and we're a big, hugely important country in the world. And my whole view on this is that I just want to get back to a situation where we can make our own decisions, make our own trade deals without having to go through the bureaucracy of the European Union. And, you know, as far as Northern Ireland's concerned, obviously there's a lot of interest, but looking at the border and the Republic. But the reality is that the Republic of Ireland has already got the euro. People said that that would, you know, be disastrous for business trade if one country had the euro and we didn't in Northern Ireland. And it hasn't made any difference whatsoever. And the Select Committee on Northern Ireland, it's going to be a very, very interesting report. We're doing a very detailed analysis of the effects on Northern Ireland of leaving the EU. And it's been most interesting because even those who've come along who are most keen to stay in, all the economists and some of the politicians have all said that in the end, if we were to leave the European Union, as long as the business people on both sides of the border wanted to make it work and the two governments wanted to make it work, there wouldn't be any real problem.
Why is she wrong, Edwina?
Oh my goodness, I was just looking at the betting odds and whether it was a good idea to place a bet. I'm quite sure that the British public, including in Northern Ireland and in Scotland, are going to vote solidly to stay in the EU. And I gather from the betting odds it's not worth my placing a bet because the bookies think the same thing as well. There are all sorts of reasons for staying in. We're not debating, as we did 40-odd years ago, whether we should be in or out. We've been in it now for 42 years, and coming out would create immense disruption. I hear what Kate says about renegotiating all the trade deals. Yes, we'd have to do that. We'd have to function without trade deals in the meantime. And there is absolutely no guarantee that we'd get a better deal than we've got now. So, you know, why bother? What is the point? I hear all this talk about sovereignty, and I hear all this talk about taking our own decisions and closing our borders. Actually, I think it's a very good idea, as Margaret Thatcher herself did back in 1975. I think it's common sense for us to be working closely together with our near neighbours on issues of politics and economics.
Well, we can work with them without being in the club with them.
But it's much easier to do it if you're in the club. And we are in the club. That's the point. We're not debating whether we should join it. We're debating whether we should leave it and whether there's any advantage to us to
leave. And stand on our own two feet and make decisions what's best for this country rather than everyone else.
All right, but there are lots of countries that have taken that view. There are lots of small islands in the Caribbean who decided they didn't want to be part of the West Indian Federation, and they're poor and there's nobody there to help them. There's no one there to support them. There are countries that did close their borders. The best example I can think of was Albania. Is that exactly what we want to do? We're not that kind of country. We've played an enormous part in the EU. We've driven it towards a single market. That was Margaret Thatcher's doing. We've driven it towards, and there'll be more of this because Juncker agrees with Cameron on this, there'll be more of free trade, more getting rid of all the bureaucracy and so on that does hold up some trade. And we've just seen a huge benefit.
But we can't control our borders. We can't control people coming into the country.
We never could. Listen, especially that border between Northern Ireland and the Republic. And it's not in our interest to do so. We benefit
hugely. It's not
in
our interest to control our borders. Are you for real?
I am for real. I'm an economist. I believe that the four freedoms that the EU treaties originally set up were incredibly enlightened and sensible. The four freedoms are freedom of movement of goods, freedom of movement of services, freedom of movement of capital, which means...
Kate, I listened to you for a long time. A very long time.
Freedom of movement of capital and freedom of movement of people.
Okay, well, let Kate respond.
And that's
respond
enormously
to that.
Helpful.
Let's let Kate respond.
Well, I mean, can I tell Edwina that actually what freedom of movement of labour has done, it has driven down wages for people in some of the bigger companies. This is actually why there is a very substantial case on the left, and why I'm surprised that some of those in Sinn Féin on the left are not pushing this argument. The social Europe idea, the idea that we were going to join the EU so that it would improve all our benefits at work and that kind of thing, that has finished. The EU project is not about that. It's about supporting the multinationals. It's about doing down workers in Greece and some of these other countries where collective bargaining has been stopped. And also, you know, as far as Northern Ireland's concerned, it really is important to get across that Northern Ireland already sells twice as much to the rest of the world outside the EU as it does to continental EU. So, you know, let's have the figures so that there isn't a feeling of fear, which is, I'm afraid, what is going to be pushed and pushed by those who want
to
stay in.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. One of the effects of having free movement and the free and open markets we've got is that we no longer have the 20-25% inflation that we had before we joined the EU. Because these are free and open competitive markets, they drive down prices to consumers. As for the lower work, I mean, I'd be much happier with what you've just said about Greece if they did have more workers in Greece. The problem was they didn't have enough workers in Greece. They're all retiring at 50 and then expecting the rest of Europe to pay for them. That's the essence of the problem there.
Well,
that's not true in Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, you're quite right. Northern Ireland could do better, and it's happening. Employment is rising. Employment is shifting from the public sector to the private sector. People are getting that entrepreneurial activity, and I'd say to them, you know what? Get on the plane from Belfast to France, to Italy, to Spain. Go and sell your goods there.
Well, that's already what's happening, but it's actually happening in the sense of our big bus industry, for example, right? Buses sell now far more to outside the world, to the growing markets in Asia. And we are seeing the EU's market share now is decreasing literally as we see.
Yeah, but the trade deal on which they're doing that.
We don't need it anymore. They need us much more than we need them.
The trade deal. Kate, the trade deal on which buses are being sold to Asia is a trade deal negotiated by the EU.
Look, the EU has been trying to get a trade deal with India for years. Iceland got one within a year and a half. Are you saying that we as the United Kingdom, the fifth strongest economy in the world, the fourth biggest military power, English spoken all over the world, that we can't do better? I'm just sorry that
I'm saying you're taking a hell of a chance. I'm so not confident
about our country. I'm confident about our country, about our skills, about our people,
about our ability to be confident.
And the Commonwealth, which is a hugely, hugely ignored part of the world, where we have such such good relations and we treated them so badly. And this gives us an opportunity to actually forge our way in the world and not just be little Europeans.
No, we're not little. We're not little Europeans. It's
527 countries.
But if you are. If you are so confident, and I am confident, we should be confident and proud of what's already been achieved in the 42 years that we've been active members of the EU. We have made a huge difference in the EU, and the EU has made a huge difference to us. There is absolutely no case for leaving it. All the things you want to do, you can do while we stay in the EU and push hard for those improvements and changes.
And we pay our 55 million a day, our 350 million a week, our 19 billion a year. We get some of that back, 10-11 billion times, and we're told, yes, but we're told how to spend it. You know, this idea that...
We're not told how to spend it.
The European Commission, which is unelected, the EU Commission is unelected, you can't get rid of it. As Tony Benn said years ago, if you can't get rid of the people in an institution,
this
it's not democratic.
It's
an anti-democratic institution, and people are beginning to wake up to that, because for the first time we're going to get that debate.
Yeah, but no, it's not the first time we're going to have. We've had this debate for years.
A lot of people weren't let me answer it. It was happening.
Well, let me answer the point. I believe that we should stay in the Union for the same reason I believe that Scotland should stay in the Union, the Kingdom, and I believe Northern Ireland should stay in the Union, because it makes us stronger. We're all better and we're stronger together. The point about not being democratic...
We can cooperate, Edwin. We can work with other countries.
We can't guarantee...
Many countries that are not in the EU. You know, we're not going to... Germany's not going to stop selling us cars tomorrow. If we leave today, the leading people within the car industry will go to Angela Merkel right away and say, hang on, we want to continue selling our cars.
I tell you what's more important.
Will prices go up, Edwina?
I think if we were on our... Well, I think the first thing would happen...
That's what business are saying.
I think one of the effects of being in a very, very large and very competitive market is that prices are driven down, and it's important that that should continue to be the case. And I take Kate's point entirely about, well, that can hold wages down. But, you know, if wages start to go up, then prices go up. Let me deal with the democratic issue. We have an elected parliament in Brussels. We send members of the European Parliament. Listen to me. We have an elected parliament. The important decisions are taken, as we saw last week, by elected leaders of each country. And they talk to each other and they agree. And they trade, of course. They do deals with each other. Of course they do. And the Commission has to answer to both of them. That's how it works. That's how it works when people send members of Parliament from Northern Ireland into Westminster.
I think the butler's ringing you, Edwina. To get into the house there, I can hear the phone going.
Well, I think the butler's failing to answer the phone. But, you know, in any case, we have to think.
Every single piece of regulation or every single directive that comes through, and then another one comes through and adds to it.
But it doesn't stop us doing things.
The Commission has to start. It costs more. It adds to the burden on small businesses, which is why, of course, the small businesses, on the whole, are very, very keen.
And do you really think? Do you really think
that they would be able to come out of the EU?
Look. Anyone who travels will know, if you go to an island economy that's on its own, life there is more expensive. Life there can be very much more difficult. All the things that you and I both, Kate, want for our country and want for our countrymen and women, we have these within the EU, and we have also all the contacts outside. Let me just deal with the point about it costs us money. Yes, it does. But one of the aspects of Europe, which I admire enormously, is that Europe has always wanted to take in the poorer countries that were part of the old communist area countries. Remember when Ireland came in? Ireland was a very poor country in the Republic, and part of that effort goes into improving the infrastructure in ways that these small countries couldn't afford to do, and it makes a hell of a difference. So Poland is now the most rapidly growing economy in Europe, and Ireland has benefited enormously. And what it means is that these countries go from being poverty stricken to wealthy neighbours who then buy our stuff. And as for the point you made about German cars coming to us, let me just remind you, one of the reasons why Nissan, Toyota and Honda are in the UK, and Toyota was in my old constituency, is because they have to sell. They sell to Europe.
It would not make any difference to them if we were
they
to leave
sell to
the
Europe.
EU. They would still
and the next investment,
the they
next
investment, more outside the EU.
They don't actually. Toyota sells most of it within Europe, and an awful lot of it goes to Germany. The
and
next investment.
The executive has said that they had no reason to see it.
Yeah, well, that's taking a hell of a
do
chance.
Do you think,
isn't
Edwina?
It?
Do you think that was underhand what Boris Johnson did in informing the Prime Minister, you know, he's only the Prime Minister, for goodness sake, of his decision to go against him 13 minutes before he told the press?
Well, let me put it like this. The photo of Boris on the front of the Telegraph, having had a haircut, with a tie on and a dark suit and a smug smile on his face, looking like Churchill, I think a lot of that's about Boris.
Is this about him trying to be the next Prime Minister?
It's about him. If you read his article with Sam Cowell, I agree with you. That was a great, gross discourtesy to the PM. But if you read his article, what he is saying is we should vote for Brexit in order to get a better deal. But that's an insult to 27 sovereign countries in Europe. It's an insult to the Prime Minister. It's a gross insult to the Prime Minister. And, of course, there's no guarantee. We have what we have. We know what we've got. We've got it, and it has made us prosperous, and it has made Europe peaceful. The Europe that I was born into, that didn't have a European Union, invented it because it was needed, and it's been incredibly useful. We should support it.
How much of a blow to the In campaign, Kate, is Boris?
I think we are pleased, very, very pleased from the Leave campaign that Boris has come. I'm not surprised that he has. And I've been going around the country a lot and looking at cross-party meetings with conservatives and the grassroots of the conservatives. You know, there is a huge anti-EU feeling. So Boris, if he is, and I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's doing it, you know, genuinely, but if he is doing it because he wants to be a future leader, obviously he is right to have gone the way he did. But he's one of these politicians that, you know, doesn't look like a politician, doesn't speak like a politician, can get out there and reach places that other politicians would be kind of laughed out of. And I've worked with him on Sport in London, and, you know, you just have to go on a tube with him and discover just how popular he is. So I don't think he's going to be, you know, up there every day having big debates, and I don't think he'll want to debate with many of his own party, but I think he will be a very useful addition. So I would think they'd be quite upset about it. I do understand that he did tell the Prime Minister the day before, even though officially he wasn't told until the next day.
Kate, thank you. Edwina, thank you.